Good morning, lovely people. Today I have a very special guest. I have with me Tracy Carroll, and she likes to say about her that she is the connections queen. Now, I really love that sentence when I see your LinkedIn profile. Now, Tracy, where is the connections queen coming from? Now,
well, I'll tell you a little story. When I first started networking, if I take you back to 2009 or 2007, I used to sell advertising space, and my boss sent me out networking, and I was rubbish at it for the first 3 months. I didn't get any business. I was trying to sell to people when I saw them, and I wasn't finding out lots of questions about them. And guess what? I didn't get any business. And the first 3 months I was thinking, oh, this networking is rubbish. But actually what I did, I think it's really important when you're in business or when you're in a role in your job, that if something's not working, it's always good to get honest feedback from people. So I built some good friendships within the network that I was going along to. But I said to the girls, I said, Heather, who I'm still really good friends with now, by the way, I said, am I doing something wrong? Because this networking, I'm not getting any business. And she went, can I be honest with you? And I said, go on. And she basically said that I was giving it the hard sell, and networking wasn't about that. It was all about getting to know like people, get them to trust you and like you, and then eventually the business will follow. And I was like, oh my God, so cringeworthy was I. But you know, obviously you learn what you're not doing. And then I changed it and started to then just find out about other people. And what I noticed, I became a really good natural connector. So I'd be in a networking scenario and I'd be at an event and I'd be chatting to a couple of people and I'd say, oh, I need to connect you to this person over here because they'll be really good for you in your business. They can either be a good potential client or a potential referral partner. And someone else would say, I'm looking for XYZ. And I'll go, oh, I know someone, I'll do an introduction. So I became that natural connector, and there's lots of them out there. And I loved it. But what I noticed in the business community, that there was no networks out there that would strategically place you with your target audience at the events. It was all very much by random chance that who you bumped into. And don't get me wrong, that's great. And there are other networks out there like BNI that, you know, and I'm happy to mention them because, you know, they have one per category of business in their sectors. And obviously, they close their competitors out. Intrabiz doesn't do that. So what we do as a business is we basically believe in collaboration, not competition. So when we bring people together, we always like to say, you know, you can complement each other, you can do business together, you can become referral partners. There'll be things that maybe two companies could collaboratively do together. The one's got a better skill set or has got a skill set that the other one hasn't, and then they come together, you know. So there's numerous ways of doing it, but that's a really, really good thing, is collaboration, and absolutely love that, you know.
I know you've founded Introbiz a while ago, and you had some some internationally recognized speakers on your stage. You shared the stage with Sharon Lecher, with Grant Cardone, who is, it's a big name, like, I mean, you know, for the people who are in the business and who are willing to grow their business. Now, the question is, how did you felt when you were in the same stage with them? What was the feeling? Now,
it's amazing because they're amazing people. Sharon Lecter became my business mentor. So that's how I secured Sharon to come over and speak for me. And obviously Grant Cardone, you know, having him on the stage was just incredible, you know, and it brought thousands of people to our business exhibition. That was back in 2018, but that we'd already secured Lord Sugar. And Grant wanted to share the stage with Lord Sugar, and he wanted to meet him. But unfortunately, that day, when he came, he was actually too late because Lord Sugar was there from 12 and about 30. And then he flew back in his plane. Grant also got a through support on his plane, and he missed 20 minutes that we meet him. We had to fly into the airport that day, come into the expo, and obviously they were like passing ships in the night, or passing planes in the night, if you will. But it was,
Just
you know,
going
it was great to have those people, you know.
to change the network. I'm sorry about that. Internet, it's very, very bad here. I've met Sharon in Arizona 2 years ago, and she's amazing. And her husband Michael, both they are two individuals that can bring a lot of value to any business. Now, I know you organize events all the time. I see you doing that. I see you connecting people, and you've done that for the last what 16, 2008. 16 years, so you have a lot of experience. How was it for Tracy when she was a 16 years ago when she started? How was the journey at the beginning of of your business and growth journey?
Sure. Well, when I first started, I didn't really know much about business. You know, my parents had their own business, and my father and mother used to run public houses, and they always taught me to never spend more than I should. And if I can't afford something, you know, my dad's nickname is Cash Man because he's always, you know, he's always believed in if you don't have the cash to go and spend, don't spend it, you know. So he always told me that. Not that I always listened to him, mind. But you know, it was a tough journey because my, you know, my parents' industry was completely different, you know, to that. My dad had already retired anyway, so he, you know, he never did social media. This was, you know, he's retired over 20 years, and obviously,
Wow.
I'd, you know, a couple of years later, that's when I started my business. So, I didn't have all the skill sets as an entrepreneur, but I had a massive drive and passion for networking, and I could see that there was a gap in the market to connect people together to the right people. And that's what we do as a business is, and this is why I call myself the Connections Queen, because we connect people to the right people. So if you can imagine, when we used to do our round tables of 10, and we still do our round tables of 10, we do a lot more socials now. But with our round tables of 10, if we have 50 people there, we have five tables of 10. We analyze the list of people that are coming, and we see what types of industries are going to be there that have booked on. And then what we will do is try and match those industry sectors together on the tables so that they're connected to potentially good people. And what we also try and do, which I was quite frustrated with going to a lot of other events, I'd go to a charity event or just another networking event, and there would be three or four competitors on the same table. And don't get me wrong, as I said earlier about collaboration over competition, but a lot of people years ago didn't really collaborate that much. A lot of it was they felt as though they were competitors. But if you will, on the table, there would be, say, three banks, two financial advisors, and maybe three other people. And it would be, you know, two or three people from the same bank sometimes might be on the same table. And I
Oh,
never
okay.
ever do that at my events. So I always make sure that I always say spread the love. So if there was three people from the same company attending the event, unless they specifically asked if there was somebody that had to sit by their colleague to learn and they were training, I wouldn't sit them together. I'd separate them. So if there was three people coming, I'd put them all on three separate tables. Because if the three of them are on the same table with seven other people, they've only got seven other opportunities between them. Whereas if you put them all individually on three separate tables of 10, they've got 27 opportunities between them. Do you see what I mean? So there's an extra 20 people they can connect to. And obviously splitting them up, it's a more effective way of doing that. And I'm very, very good at matchmaking and connecting the dots so that when I'm chatting to someone, I'll say, oh my gosh, this person would be a really good referral partner for you, or this industry sector would be a good referral partner. And you'd actually be surprised how a lot of people are very switched on to referral partnerships, but there's a lot that don't have any. And then when I start actually giving them the advice of the types of connections that they could have as referral partners, they're blown away because they, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that, you know. But I, you know, I always say this, you know, for those of you who are listening, you might think to yourself, who's a good collaborator for you? Well, if you've got the same target audience, and say, for instance, you've got a web developer with a banker, you could still be good referral partners. And the reason being is they are still dealing with the business owner. So if you build a really good relationship and you meet somebody at an event and you think, oh my God, you know, that you buddy up with them and you really resonate with them, why wouldn't you refer them business? You know, if you're dealing with the same target audience, you know? So, you know, the types of people we would put together would be property investors with a construction company, with anybody that's in property that's related, for instance, you know, and then a wedding photographer with a wedding venue and a wedding stationer. You put all those people together and they could all be good referral partners for each other, you know? So it's just opening people's eyes and ears to think, well, when they're out networking, who could be a good referral partner for them? And giving them the tools then and the ideas that they can go forward and create their own referral partnerships. And if we can do that and help them, the economy is going to be in a much better position because their businesses will then flourish more because they'll have more opportunities to get more referral partners into their business.
For it was something in particular that made you to go, to concentrate and to focus on networking business, because like I am sure you've done something else before. Like I checked your LinkedIn profile before. So what was the trigger? Why did you choose to go into the networking business? Rather than anything else, it has to be something that triggered you that so what was
Yeah, sure.
it?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think what it was growing up in the pub trade.
All
Obviously,
right.
I used to live in the pub, above the pub, you know. So I
Oh.
used to work behind the bar when I was younger. So my father and mother got me working behind the bar because a lot of children have Saturday jobs and, you know, holiday jobs. So my job was working behind the bar, collecting glasses, bottling up. So on a Saturday morning, I'd get up and put all the bottles of ale and cider and orange juice and Coke. I'd, you know, make sure there was enough on the shelves every day on the weekends. I used to do that, not so much on a school day because my mum and dad did treat my my school days very seriously. So I think having grown up in the corporate hospitality industry, you know, it's the people industry. And when someone says, "Oh, what is it that you do?" and I always say to them, "I'm in the people industry," because I absolutely love it. You know, I'm an only child, but my parents always had a car full of children or a house full of children because I'm very much a people person. So they were always coming around to stay on the weekends, sleepovers, and or come over for the day in the school holidays, you know. So I've always loved people or nice people, you know. So having grown up in the pub, and then when I started going to the networking events, and I thought, oh, this is really good. When I could see it was working for me, and I really enjoyed it, I thought, oh, I could do this. And my mum and dad, to be fair to them, they work so very, very hard and they work long hours and weekends. I didn't really want that life. I wanted to create a life for myself that I could still have the weekends off, especially before I had, you know, when I had children, because I planned to have children. I've got a son and daughter. So, you know, it was a case of, you know, just fell in love with being around lots of people. So having gone to the networking events and falling in love with that, and I could see how powerful it was, and you know, it worked really well for me because going from the first 3 months of getting no business, month 4 to month 12, I'm monitored how much business I sold, and in that period, and bearing in mind that wasn't with Intrabiz where we do strategically connect people together, that was with other networks, I sold £95,000 worth of business just from attending a couple of networking events every week. And I could see how powerful it was. And I thought, wow, I need to do this for myself because what I'd noticed in the business community, there were no networks out there that would strategically place you with your target audience, you know, at the events.
At the events, yeah. I've seen
So I
that
saw that as an
actually.
opportunity.
I've seen that actually in Ireland too, and we've had some ideas on how to do it, to make sure like we know about the people who are coming and to strategically arrange them at the same table, because I've attended a few events myself and it happened exactly as you said. Like I've been on the same table with people. Like it's not that we won't have we had the same interests, put it this way. And it was not much opportunity for any of us. So then, that's why, like, when I approach you, when I approached you, I said to you, look, I really like what you do, because it's unique in a sense. Like, I mean, I haven't seen many people doing it. You know, we've been like I've been at some events in London. Again, it was like going fishing, you know,
Yeah.
hoping
Well,
that you are going to
another
get a
thing.
big fish.
Yeah, exactly. But another thing that we do now, because obviously pre-COVID, we were getting 50 to 60 people every week at our events. Okay, that was in person. We do more online events now because it can save people money and time and get a better global reach if you do online. But obviously, I still do the in-person events once a month in Cardiff. I've got a franchise that does once a month in Bristol, and then I usually host Intrabiz London, and we do once a month in London because our events are slightly smaller. And I shared this morning on Facebook. Someone was on about how things change and how sometimes you might think it's not a good thing. But what I noticed, having done the smaller events, and after COVID, it was pretty tough. I was only getting sometimes 10, 15 people to the events. And I was like, oh, wow, going from 50 to 60 to 15 to 20, it was painful, in the beginning. However, we get about 30 now on average. And actually, 30 is the sweet spot because everybody has a voice at the event. And what I mean by that is, everybody networks as though you're in a cocktail party, or you're at a house party or something. So everyone's chatting. But what we then do at the event is we sometimes have a speaker for 10, 15 minutes, which is great, sometimes half an hour, depending. Sometimes it's 15 minutes for each speaker, and I'll get two speakers. Other occasions, we do 3 hour session and we do an hour of speakers, and then the rest is networking. But the really important thing is that everybody has a voice. So once the speakers are finished, we then go to the next part of the event, which is everybody gets 2 minutes each at the event to say who they are to the whole room. Okay. And the reason that we do this is because rather than sit down on tables of 10, because quite often most of our events are just wine, or teas and coffees. Sometimes we do a breakfast, but we tend to do more non-food events now because it's more about the networking. So when we're in a social environment and everybody's standing, everybody has 2 minutes each. And we then invite everyone to sit down if they want to, while everybody's speaking, and that's fine. And usually people do. Some people still stand, which is fine. And once everybody's been round, and if there's 30 people there, we just do 1 minute each because we only want to make it about 30 minutes, because that would take up a whole hour if there was 30 people at 2 minutes each. So it's like a 1 minute pitch to let everybody know who's there. So that takes up 30 minutes, but that's really important 30 minutes because everyone in the room who knows who's there, and you'll be thinking, oh, I'd love to talk to her, or I'd love to chat to him. He'll be a really good referral partner. They could be a potential client. We could work together. So after everybody's done that, I then say to everyone, thank you all so much. Everybody knows who's here now. Now I want what I would like you to do is go and approach somebody who you've heard from today, that you haven't spoken to yet, that you think that you could potentially work with. And that's fantastic because what it does, it not only says that that they've got a voice when they're there and everybody pitches, but it's finding new opportunities for people. Because how many events do you go to where you meet five or six people throughout the evening, make 10 people max, okay? And it's like fishing, in a blind pond, if you will. So with this, we're identifying to everybody who's there. So when you do that, it works out so much better.
Exactly, yeah. Like I felt like that so many times, you know, going to the events, and I felt like me going fishing, hoping that you know, using the right bite, I'll get the big fish.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but then it's a
Yeah.
little bit different. You, the events are organized for small and medium enterprises and entrepreneurs, and what advice would you have for someone who is at the start of their journey? What advice? How will you advise them?
Well, obviously, one of the things I will say is network, network, network. Obviously, build your network if you haven't done so already. And and with greatest respect, if somebody's just starting out in business, go to your family and friends first. You've already got a network of your own people, your own tribe of people, with your family and friends. And it's, do you know what? It's really surprising. I was talking the other week to somebody, and I was saying, do you know what? I want people to open their eyes. And I did an article on LinkedIn a few weeks ago to say, your network is nearer than you think, and it's all about, look at the people around you already. And you'd be surprised how many people, even couples, husband and wives, will say to me, or I'll say, oh, what does your husband do? And they say, oh, he works for such and such. I don't know what his role is. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I might speak to the husband, and I'll say, oh, I've just been chatting to your wife. She does this. And he says, and he'll say, oh, I don't know what she does. I'm not involved in her business, but it's all good. And I'm absolutely gobsmacked how they don't really talk and communicate with each other about what it is that they do and how they can, because they could help each other, it's incredible. And so I always say, just go to all the people that you do know as a starting point, because they can certainly help you. Your friends and family will want to help you. Your sociable friends will, you go out with, tell them what you do, find out from them. But ask lots of open-ended questions, but create win-win relationships. So always remember this: it's never always about you, what you can do to sell your business. It's about how can you help people to solve their problems. Okay, because if you can help people to solve their problems and grow their business, you're going to get more clients anyway. And if you focus on the client first, okay, or always focus on the client first, you shouldn't go far wrong. And the more curious and knowledgeable you become about the people that you're talking to, ask them lots of questions about them, and be a good listener, because if you listen, then you will see opportunities. Because if you're not listening, you won't hear and see the opportunities that you can potentially get to sell your products and services, or just potentially help them and introduce them to somebody else. So again, going back to referral partnerships, if you've got, say you've got five good referral partnerships, and you're listening to someone, okay, and you're thinking, oh, I know someone, one of your referral partners, you can help them get business, you can pass that referral. And if they do business, you might have an arrangement with them that you'll earn a commission or a referral fee from that. Why shouldn't you? We as a business pay 15% referral fees to anyone that recommends us business, because we want to be able to say, well, thank you for the business. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have got that business. And there should be a lot more of that, because not everybody does. There's, again, I speak to so many people, just I say, oh, do you get a referral fee? Oh no, I just refer in business. And I'm like, oh my gosh. If people are giving you business, why would you not pay them a little thank you? Because I always believe if you pay a commission to someone, they'll think, well, that's great, I wouldn't mind a bit more of that. And then you'll get more referrals coming through. And I think if you're not greedy and you're more giving, you will get back. But always give rather than receive, and listen to people.
About listening, I've done a leadership course a while ago when while I was a student, and when it came to listening, they were saying that you've listened to someone only if after he was finishing talking, you are able to recall 90%, at least 90% of what they were saying. But today, with all those gadgets and everything, like, we are not really listening. We are pretending we're listening, and we say yes, and we can't wait for the other person to finish speaking so we can talk.
I know, and it's never about you. It's always about listening. Is probably one of the biggest skill sets that you can do, to do that. And I love talking, don't get me wrong, but I always listen to someone, and I'll literally focus on them. And people are quite amazed, and not so much now, I'm a bit older, but I used to have a memory like an elephant, but it's not so great anymore. I've got brain fog. I think I'm older. But when you listen to people, and what's a really, really good tip, and people love this, okay, to show people that you're listening, okay, and that you're attentive, because people want your time and attention. And to show that you've listened to someone, say for instance, you've said to me 10 minutes ago that you're looking to speak to financial advisors and solicitors, as an example, okay? 10 minutes might go by, and we'll be chatting about other things. And then I'll say, oh, Bogdan, I've just thought of something. You said you were looking for financial advisors and solicitors. I've just thought of someone that would be really good for you. Would you like me to introduce you to them? And number one, you've said your name, because people love their name. They're very proud of their names. And if you say somebody's name, that's always good to build rapport. Okay. But then by letting them know that, that shows that you've listened and it's because you care. You know, it's like people, when they join Intrabiz, okay, I never just send them an invoice. We have a one-to-one with all of our members because we need to understand what it is that they do, who do they want to connect to, who are they looking for as referral partners, what are their needs, okay? It's all very well just joining a network and just coming along for the ride, but if we understand what people are looking for, that's when we can find more opportunities for them. So, you know, and then we can connect them to the right people at the events, you know, and I'm always constantly, when we're on the online events, I'll say, oh, Joe, you need to connect to Mark. You'll be really good for each other. So I make it for their attention that they need to follow up with each other, you know. And quite a lot of people get it and they would say, oh, yeah, he'll be good for me or she'll be good for me. But there are people that don't. So I always try and reiterate people on the call that, oh my gosh, you'll be really good for each other. Please connect, you know, and follow up with each other, you know.
What was your biggest challenge since you are in business? Like, I mean, every business will be challenged, like in life. I don't know, sometimes the personal problems, they go over the business problems. Like today, for example, one of my aunties passed away. So after the interview, I'm going to
Sorry.
go to the hospital. And so that's a challenge. But
Oh,
what
I'm
it has
sorry.
to be done, it has to be done. So the question for you is, what was your biggest challenge and how did you manage to overcome that challenge? It might help someone who in their journey will, I don't know, we'll get the same challenges you.
Sure. I mean, I think entrepreneurship is a journey. It's very much up and down. You know, I've had lots of challenges in the business. I've had cash flow issues, you know, where people don't pay and you've still got to pay your bills. I remember, you know, Lord Sugar was a big investment. And luckily, I didn't have to pay all the money up front. So, you know, having big bills at an exhibition and paying a speaker a big fee was challenging to say the least. And although we did lots of sales, you know, it's managing that cash flow and trying to sell the stands and the sponsorships, etc. So that was a tough year, 2018. You know, it was tough building the business to start with, but you've got to be, I think whatever it is that you do in your business, or if you're thinking about setting up a business, is always find something to do that is that you're passionate about. So I'm passionate about people and networking and connections. So it's what I love to do. It's part of my DNA, if you will. So I think if you're passionate about something and you've got a really good vision, you've got a good mission statement and you've got your purpose, why are you doing what you're doing, and you're passionate about what you're doing, it won't be a job, it'll be your lifestyle. So I think that's what you have to do as a starting point. Because when you do have a challenge, as long as you're passionate about what you do, you won't give up on it, because a lot of people do want to give up. And I've wanted to give up many times when I've had challenges, but I don't, because I love what I do and I still keep pushing through, you know. But obviously, COVID was a massive challenge. I lost 90% of my business because I did everything in person before COVID. And I'm not tech savvy, so I had to learn the online. I had to pivot very quickly to go online, as did everybody else in the events industry. It was tough for a lot of people, and pubs and restaurants and corporate hospitality and other businesses as well. You know, that was a really tough time. But I think as long as you love what you do, but also is surrounding yourself with the best people, and I think is creating your own community. And luckily for me, I had a fantastic community, and I felt it was my duty in COVID to keep everybody together. It was my duty, and you know, for my self-worth, for my clients, that I needed to stay there for them, because we needed to keep everybody still connected. So, you know, yes, times are very challenging. And you know, it was hard building the business back up again. And it has been very hard. Even now it's hard, because I think there's a lot of, you know, with you know, everything going up, the cost of living crisis and what happened in the Ukraine, you know, and everything has been, you know, the last few years has been very challenging for us as a, you know, for everybody in the world. But I think you just have to keep going, keep pushing forward, and realize that that whatever you're going through, you will come through the other side because you have your peaks and your troughs. You'll always have bad times, always, but you'll always have good times. And you could have all the money in the world as a business, but you will still have other challenges. So it's not always monetary challenges. It could be staff issues. It could be health issues with yourself or with, top people in your company. There's always different challenges. It could be technology. It could be cybersecurity attacks. There's loads of issues that you can have, but you have to still keep going. And I think as an entrepreneur, you've got to problem solve very quickly. You've got to make decisions, because if you don't, things will just get from bad to worse.
How would you compare the physical events to the online events? Like I've one of our businesses is in education, so we had the same problem before the pandemic. Like all the classes were physical classes, and when the pandemic came, we've lost not 90%, but about 80% of our business went like that. So I really understand the pain. But now, from a networking perspective and events perspective, how, what, from, let's say, your opinion on this, from your experience, which ones would be better, the online or the physical?
Both. I think it's good to do both because obviously, I prefer the in-person because I'm a people person, and I think there's nothing nicer than meeting someone in person, giving them a hug. I'm a hugger, so that is always key for me is in person. However, what I will say is a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't like the online," or "I'm all zoomed out. I've had enough of doing the online. I'd rather the in-person." And don't get me wrong, a lot of people do, but then there's still a lot of business that can be done online because the only difference between the online and in-person is you can't physically hug somebody, but you can still look them in the eye. You can still be vocal and tell everyone what you do. You can still find opportunities. You have a bigger global reach. You can reach more people. It's more cost effective, more time effective because you haven't got to travel. And you literally, I can just literally rock up within a few minutes. I go online, and everyone jumps on, and you can still have great conversations. You can still see people's faces, the whites of their eyes, that's the only difference, and obviously, as I say, the in-person is my favorite, but I always say it's good to do both. Unfortunately, Intrabiz does both. We do more online than offline, as I said earlier, but it's great to do both because there's still lots and lots of business being done online.
Can you share, I don't know, a moment that you felt embarrassed, I don't know, or something that a funny, I don't know, a funny situation that will, you know, like when you look back, you say, oh Jesus, like how can I could do that, or you know, a funny thing. In 16 years, you must have some.
Yeah, sure. I've had, I felt and I've had imposter syndrome. So if I take you back to 2019, it was 3 months before the pandemic. I was very fortunate enough. I networked my way to Necker Island with Sir Richard Branson, and I took clients with me as well. And I remember standing on the sand at the beach and on the island, and I was just looking out to sea, thinking, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've got here. How did I get here? Do I deserve to be here? There's all these multimillionaires and billionaires that I'm networking with on this island, super successful people, and there's little old me from Cardiff in South Wales." And so I had that moment where I thought, should I be here? But then actually, when I looked at it, I thought, well, I'm an okay person. I'm a pretty decent girl, or a woman. I've been kind to people, I've helped people, I've supported people, and I've managed to create that opportunity for myself, but also for my clients. So I felt privileged and humbled that I was there, but I did have that moment where I thought, oh my God, do I deserve to be here? But I'm, as I say, I think I did deserve to be there with the people that I've helped over the years, the people that I connected, and obviously meeting Sir Richard was one of my goals in my life that I wanted to achieve. You know, when I told my parents that I was going there, my mum said, "Oh my God, you've been wanting to do that for years." And obviously it happened, which I was very grateful for.
How do you manage not to, I, because you've mentioned you've set targets, you had dreams. So when you reached the dreams or your targets, some of the people, they will procrastinate, they will stay there, they won't move forward. So what was the fuel that gave you energy to go forward, and I don't know, to decide that you can help more and more people instead of instead of just stopping, or
I think you've got to take action, whatever it is that you want. I've always been a bit of a doer. I've never, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will say what they want, or they'll sit on the sofa and say they'll want to be a millionaire, but they don't want to do any work. You know, it is a journey, and you do have to do the work if you want a result. It's like if you're going on holiday, you've got to plan and prepare. You've got to book your time off work. You've got to book your flights or the train, or make sure that your car is roadworthy to drive wherever you're driving, and book a hotel, and you know, all these sorts of things. Get your currency if you're going abroad. So you've got to plan, but you know, if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen. So I think, as you know, it all depends how determined you are to get something. There's a lot of people out there that are just not prepared to put the work in, and that's okay. Not everything is for everyone, you know. And entrepreneurship is a tough road for a lot of people. And I saw only an art someone put up on LinkedIn yesterday that they've been in business for 8 years, and they've decided now that entrepreneurship isn't for them anymore, because it's a tough journey, and it can be quite lonely if you don't have a community around you. But even if you have a community, it can still be quite lonely, because you've got to make these decisions, you know. But I think you've got to have that drive and that passion and that determination to move forward. You know, all my friends, when they knew that my business was hit in the pandemic, they said, "If anyone can bring it back up again, it's you, Tracy, because you're determined, you're focused, and you're an action taker. You're a doer. You'll do it." And that's what you have to do. There's no point in, I never want to look back on my life and say, "Oh, I wish I'd done that," and not done it. If there's something that I want in my life, I'll go make it happen. You know, I'm a massive believer of the law of attraction. That's how I ended up on Necker Island. I put it out there that I was going to go there one day, and I actually publicly announced that. I actually said, "I don't know when and I don't know how, but one day I'm going to go to Necker Island. I'm going to meet Sir Richard Branson, but I'm going to take clients for the experience, because it's never just about me. Intrabiz is all about, and what I'm all about is creating opportunities. And our strap line is creating and connecting communities for global opportunities." And that's exactly what I want to do, is make sure that I find new opportunities for my clients. And then obviously, you know, I can potentially grow the company that much more, you know.
What's next for Tracy, and what's next for Introbiz? What's the vision? Now, if you can share it, I don't know. Sometimes people, they don't want to share what their future vision is or what their future plans are.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We've got our business exhibition next June, which is an awesome day of inspiration, education, empowerment, and connection. But what I want to do a lot more of is teach people how to network and monetize their connections and create referral, you know, a referral economy in their business, because there's so many people that don't know how to do that. So I'm actually creating a networking course, which I've already got, and it's all pre-recorded that I could sell online, and I have sold it online. But I'd rather do more in-person things. So I am going to be doing more training, teaching people on how to network rather than just putting on events. I want to, you know, go down more of the training arm. I've created another brand, which I haven't launched yet, called Youth Biz, which is going to be a young person's training academy to teach young people how to network. And yet again, I haven't done that as yet, because there's only so many hours in the day you can do, and there's only so much you can work on. But I do want to do something with that next year in 2025 and onwards, and do a little bit more traveling and working, have a bit more of a blended life where I get to travel, but obviously travel to work. and speak globally, and obviously then sell my networking courses and the mentoring, but then also have some downtime as well wherever I'm traveling to.
I was just about to ask about the youth biz because I've seen that I've seen that on your LinkedIn profile, but I haven't seen many posts about that. I have two youth myself. I have two girls, and from my perspective, their financial education and networking, and both of them, they have the entrepreneur spirit. Myself and my wife, we both have it. So I was. So I'm happy to see that the girls they are looking to follow our steps. So if you can give a little bit more details about the youth biz, what is going to be, and how are going to help the youth in, I would say, modern days.
Yeah, well, I'd like to start off with a youth conference, a youth biz conference next year. I was going to be planning it for February, but I've had so many other things to deal with, so it's probably going to be later on next year. But then obviously give young people an opportunity to join the academy, and then they start building their network with their other peers of their own age, and then they could then come into intrabiz once they've got more experience. So that's what I want to do more of next year. So watch this space.
Oh, I definitely will. I know you have to go into a next meeting, so I really, really appreciate your time. Before I'm going, before we are going to end the call and the interview, if you have, I don't know, any tips, or if you have any message to the entrepreneurs in UK, in Ireland, because we are sharing pretty much the same market, what it would be.
Yeah, of course. So a couple of tips is never judge a book by its cover. You never know who you're talking to, because when you start talking to somebody, a lot of people can prejudge. And I always use this analogy. Remember the film Pretty Woman?
Oh,
Julia
yeah.
Roberts goes into the fashion store and they prejudge her, thinking she can't afford the clothes. And what happened? She got the rich boyfriend a few weeks later, goes into the competitor store next door, buys a load of stuff because she didn't like the way that they treated her in the other store. And then she goes back in with all the bags saying, big mistake, huge. So never underestimate who you're talking to, and always give a good first impression, because if you do that, you'd be surprised what will happen. So that's one, is obviously being interested in other people and ask them lots of open-ended questions to see how you can help others first. Never go in with a taking attitude, always go in with a giving attitude, and listen. Make sure that you listen to people so that you can find opportunities to potentially help them by selling your products and services to them. And also follow up. Make sure you follow up with everybody that you meet, because again, if you don't follow up, no action is taken and nothing will happen. And opportunities are only created when you identify them, you take action, and then you make things happen for yourself. So I love, there's three little words I love: make it happen. And if you do that, you won't go far wrong.
Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate your time. I really appreciate the time you've spent here with us, and the tips and the knowledge and the value you shared and you are sharing all the time with your audience, with our audience. So if it's anything we can do for you and help you to promote the events and to promote the networking events and
Sure.
the expos, whatever you do, let us know. I really like what you're doing, in to be honest with
Oh,
you.
thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem, guys. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you are going to enjoy the interview with Tracy. Now, remember, if you need anything from her, she's available. You can contact her anytime on LinkedIn. She has a beautiful picture, and you are going to see that beautiful picture on the cover of the magazine very, very soon. Thank you very much. Enjoy your time, and see you next time.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye for now.